Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from the 25th chapter of Isaiah, the Old Testament reading appointed for today. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. This is the text. My dear brother and sister, it is quite normal in our life to celebrate and punctuate a special event with a banquet, with a special meal. And usually in celebrations like that, we have the banquet, and then the orators get up and talk about what the event is all about, what we are truly celebrating here. Isaiah, in his poem here, speaking on God's behalf, an announcement that there will be a banquet, and the reason being that God will destroy death. He will, in Isaiah's poetry, swallow up the swallower. Death is swallower in Hebrew. God will swallow up the swallower. Once the swallower is swallowed up, there will be no more death. That is reason to celebrate. And for that reason, God will bring all nations to his mountain and will feed them steak and aged wine, the finest of meats and the finest of wine. God's banquet menu. The Lord God Almighty does not plan things on the last minute. He is a planner. He plans ahead. Actually, he wrote this through Jeremiah 2,700 plus years ago, and it still hasn't happened. But there is the invitation for all people to come to his mountain. We find ourselves actually in the same spot that Jeremiah did 2,700 years ago when he was sent to the captives of Babylon, the people of Israel in captivity, in exile. To them, Isaiah brings the light, the good news. It's not all going to be gloom and doom, but on this mountain, the Lord will have a banquet. The finest of meats, rich food, and rich drink. He will swallow up death forever, and he will lift from all the nations the shroud that covers it. Until that day, you and I will be dealing with death every single day in our life. Despite the scriptures, despite God's prophecies, the promise of a Savior, the coming of the Savior in the baby Jesus. Despite all of that, we continue to sin. For we are born with the original sin, which means a tendency to go away from God. But God comes after us through holy baptism and through the Word. Day after day, He invites us into His family. He wants us to be His sheep. The sheep of his pasture. He wants us to be his people, his children in his household, because there we are safe. There we will not be condemned. There, the more we sin, the more grace will abound, and we bask in the love of God. Sin goes on. We cannot avoid sin, for we are not perfect yet. But one day, after that feast on the mountain of God, eternal life. will be the bliss eternal. Adam and Eve wanted to live according to their own rules, and they landed into sin. And from that day on, you and I have been living with sin and paying for its consequences. Nothing is perfect. You plant a garden, and thistles grow in the midst of the good stuff that you've planted there, the weeds. You have to constantly correct it. Even nature was affected by sin. The weather is not a balmy 80 degrees every day. There are fires. There are earthquakes. There are floods. All kinds of crime and instability within our town, within our families, within our world. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. We only know one thing, that God is God. And He lets the pendulum swing, caused by our own sinfulness, only this far before it must come back. Since the beginning, we have been paying the price for sin. We have been walking this painful road in this life. But since the beginning, we also have the promise of God's grace and mercy to us. He promised a Savior from the very fall on. Since the beginning, we have been living by the mercy of God, not only assaulted and assailed by sin, but healed, directed, comforted, enlivened by the mercy of God. Paul complained to God that he had a severe thorn in the flesh, a painful thorn in the flesh. He probably told God that he could be a better apostle without this thorn. And God said, "My grace is sufficient to you because my power is made perfect in weakness." It's not about our human strength, but it is about the strength of our faith. It is about the gifts of God in our life, not what we can bring to the table. We are so far from the original perfection that we believe that we can bring something to the table of our salvation, that we have to go to church, that we have to pray so many times, that we have to read our portals of prayer, or else something is wrong. When that is where we at, stop it. Reset. We have the opportunity to come to church. We can. We get to come to church and collect the gifts of Christ. When we read the portals of prayer, we collect the gifts. We harvest the gifts of Christ for us. It's not an obligation. Our part, so that God will bless us. God blesses us with or without our participation. The fact is that we have no merit whatsoever on our part. It is all the grace of God. But it is wise for us to collect His gifts when He offers them to us. So we look forward for the final celebration. We have received the gift when we became the children of God through holy baptism. Heaven was given to us. The grace of God washed away our sins and takes away the guilt of the original sin. We are safe. So let us continue to RSVP. And every time we come to church, we are saying to God, "Yes, I'll be there." And in that little line that says how many guests, number of guests, just put in several. Only God knows how many will come because of you and me proclaiming and continuing to invite people into His flock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.